It's a confidence builder. It's a skill set enhancer. Everybody doesn't do it, and I'm not saying everybody has to do it, but it just makes that patient experience a lot better. When in doubt, you want to expose the scalp.
Marcia, thank you for joining us at the CordiCare podcast and taking your time. I just saw you, you know, in the big ballroom, just doing your thing. You're killing it here. We love that. We love to see it. So thank you for taking the time to talk with us.
Thanks, Gil, for having me. I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm so excited.
And we're going to talk about what you've been talking about for a long time.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about challenges with hairstyles in EEG, because that's something that's really, I had never even heard anyone address it until you. As an EEG tech myself, of course, I had these complications and I came up with my own little ways.
Okay.
But to have someone really make a standardized, which I feel like you have done and you are continuing to do, make it more standardized, I think that is going to help, you know, techs like me, either experienced or not experienced, we all deal with certain hairstyles that could be challenging.
Absolutely.
And they deserve the EEG care just as much as anyone else. You know, like my father-in-law bald, you know what I'm saying? So the people who have the certain hairstyles, maybe it would be, you know, weaves or braids or, you know, sometimes we get, at Denver Health, we would get unhoused people and they would have tough mats,
right?
Which was tough. So I'm glad that you're tackling that. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Let's go ahead and talk about you first, what your background is, how long you've been doing this, and why it really sparked a passion in you to tackle this topic.
Well, I've been doing EEG for over 8 years now. I started in DC at George Washington University Hospital as a monitor tech. I didn't know what I was getting into, never heard of EEG before. I had previously been with a paratransit company driving people around who needed help in the wheelchairs and things like that. And they were pushing a lot of hours and I was going through so much physically. I was just like, I gotta get out of here. So I applied for a position, a telemetry monitoring position. Didn't know it had anything to do with EEG, didn't know what EEG was. I got the call back to have an interview. They loved me and it was history from there.
Let's go.
Yes.
Let's go. So you went from telemetry to EEG. Like, how did that happen?
It was crazy because I've always had a background in the medical field as a PCT, a EMT, a special police officer, and EMT at the Kennedy Center in DC. So I've had an interesting background.
Of course you have. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not surprised at all. I wouldn't expect it any other way. So what inspired your passion for tackling the hair, the challenges with the hair in particular?
One of my first mentors, Shelly Johnson Duchantier at George Washington University Hospital,
shout out to her.
She's amazing. She's been in the field for many, many years now. She's familiar with Connie as well. And Linda Gagnon, she was the manager who hired me in the lab. But when it came to hair, it was all Shelly teaching me how to section off and consolidate the hair so that I would be able to see where my marks for accurate measuring were. So that was the start of everything.
Yeah, which is very important.
It was very important.
You know, getting those marks down.
Yeah, because in DC, we are so diverse.
Yeah.
It's just accuracy is one of the most important things to
Absolutely. Do you remember a time where you had your first challenge? Like, you know, like I've got stories about the unhoused, unfortunately. Tell me a little bit about an example you had.
I started at a different hospital after working for GW, and coming behind other people's work was very challenging because they didn't section off and then you have hair everywhere. And when you're trying to do skin checks, you want to know what you're looking at, where you're going. And it was just difficult for me because I had anxiety really bad, especially in the beginning of my career. So I felt like, you know, I would spend time, like hours, in an EMU inpatient unit with patients just sectioning off their hip so I would be able to see what was going on. And then it really became a thing of doing it for the patient as well. So at the end of their stay, they wouldn't have such a difficult time cleaning up.
And, yeah.
You know.
That makes a ton of sense mm-hmm. that you're not just doing it for the patient, but you're also doing it for yourself for your coworkers.
Exactly.
Because if CZ is off, you know, in the middle of nowhere,
exactly.
You got to find that down. You got to find where it is. Well, and that's pretty cool.
And everybody doesn't color code their boxes.
Yeah.
So that can make it difficult as well, trying to figure out where you're going
yeah.
with the wire. So, yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Let's talk about the challenges.
Okay.
So what are some of the challenges that techs may come across, especially in people with thick or coarse hair?
Electro application.
Uh-huh.
Being able to keep them down. Some of the impedances aren't well because you have very moisturized scalp and skin. So you have to make sure that you're using those alcohol pads. And that's another reason why we talk about not using conditioners and moisturizers in your hair when we hook up. But depending on the situation and where you are, you may have patients that come in an emergency room with that stuff in their head. They're not aware of what's going on. So you just have to adjust and make do. Tangles. Tangles are a thing. And that's not just with African-American or Black American hair types. You have different hair types.
Yeah.
And they range from 1 to 4. And so you have the very straight to the very curly and coarse. And so it just all depends on case by case situation.
And so that thick hair, that coarse hair, when you press it down, it's pushing it back up,
exactly.
isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that is the main reason why I not just only section off the hair, but I consolidate it as well because it keeps it in place.
Yeah.
And you can stretch that curl when you need to.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's smart. So why do you think there is like a lack of education? Why do you think you're the first one that I've ever heard talk about it, especially on social media?
People are afraid to step out of that, you know, box and speak up about it. Some people come from different backgrounds where they're not experienced with different types of hair. I always say when I was a young girl, I had to be able to manage all different types of hairstyles, dealing with Barbie dolls.
Yeah.
They were straight hair, yeah. right? And then I have my own hair type. And so I had to be diverse in that aspect growing up all of my life. And I felt like, you know, in the medical field, this should be a thing that we talk about. And I just, you know, it gets swept under the rug, but I'm an advocate for those who can't speak for themselves and who have tried to speak up but go unheard. So that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And ultimately, our job is to get a good connection onto the scalp. And, you know, and I can understand a tech being swamped with EEGs. The last thing they want to do is go into a room and it's thick hair, no matter if it's coarse. No matter what, it's that issue that if you don't have the right training on how to work with it, can frustrate you. You can slap it on. It's not a good look for the tech, and it's really not good for patients who right. actually need that care.
And the recording as well. You want a readable recording, you
exactly.
know? And so you don't want to have to keep coming back, messing with the patient, disturbing them, and then you don't want to burn yourself out, right? Yep. And then for the techs that come behind you.
Yeah.
So you just want to make it easier for everyone around.
Exactly. And I just think it's makes so much sense that if you walk into a room and they have coarse or thick hair, if you have a strategy and know how to do it, you're going to be a lot less frustrated.
Stress, exactly.
You know?
So. And it's a confidence builder.
Yeah.
It's a skill set enhancer.
Yeah.
And so that's how I look at it. You know, everybody doesn't do it. And I'm not saying everybody has to do it, but it just makes that patient experience a lot better.
Yeah.
You know, when in doubt, you want to expose the scalp.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. That's your tagline. I love it. And, you know, it might not be something that everyone does, but it's something we all encounter.
Right.
Whenever we're hooking up an EEG. If you're in the EEG field long enough, you're going to have a patient that's going to be hard.
Exactly.
So let's get into some techniques.
Okay.
Okay. What are some of the go-to strategies for, let's say, placing electrodes on dreads or rows?
I normally just section off, like with my hair, I would still section it off and consolidate it. I would start with the circumference first, but I normally would mark and measure first mm-hmm. and then section off everything okay. and consolidate it. I feel that usually when you go with the occipital region, that circumference, you can just bundle that up and get that out of the way because that's the heaviest area of yeah. the head, right? And so then I'll, you know, I have rubber bands, hair ties, clips, combs, things of that nature. But with locks specifically in cornrows, it can be a little tricky depending on the type of dreadlocks. Sometimes they have other type of, there are different names for different locks, mm-hmm. like wicks that are a lot thicker. So you have to kind of dig through the scalp a little bit, but it all depends on the situation. With cornrows, depending on how many you have and the width of them, you mm-hmm. may or may not have to take them out. Mm-hmm. So using that 1 centimeter parameter that we have to be able to modify our placement, it just all depends. So if they do have cornrows, I usually suggest that they don't have them.
Yeah.
And if I have to take them out, I will, just yeah. so I can make sure that I'm placing in the right region and I'm able to keep them laying down.
Yeah. And how hard is it to take out a cornrow?
Not that hard. Sometimes it depends on if they have extensions within the cornrow or their natural hair. So sometimes you may have to cut the ends of a cornrow, depending if it's burned at yeah. the ends. That's the old way of doing things. Usually they'll like dip the extensions in hot water where it's curly at the ends and you can just comb it out. So it just depends on the situation. But in an outpatient setting, we usually give patient instructions to where before they come.
Right.
We'll let them know, hey, if you have this, make sure it's taken out beforehand, or, you know, we'll be able, if you need to contact us, you can.
So communicating, what I hear you say, is communicating to the patient way beforehand.
Absolutely.
And letting them know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If, depending on the situation.
Yeah.
In an emergency situation, you can't
help it.
You can't help it. And sometimes you have to get permission from the family or doctors to even be able to remove certain things from patients.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It can be a little, you know, tricky, but we get the job done.
Of course. Of course. Now you said there's a little bit of leeway and a little bit of flexibility in the 10-20 system.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Just being able to make sure that you're accurately marking and measuring, that's where you start. But you have a 1 centimeter parameter where you can adjust your electrodes on either side. Whatever you do to one side, you do it to the other, right? But if I have a cornrow in the way of where I need to place, like for instance, C3 or C4, I have a parameter that I can work within that 1 centimeter to adjust in that scalp area that's exposed. You see what I'm saying?
Without creating too much of an asymmetry on the sides.
Exactly, yeah. And equal potential.
Yeah.
For sure.
Let's say, for example, you have a patient who comes in for a routine EEG.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they didn't see the message that you gave them to take their braids out or whatever. How do you handle the conversation with a patient who just flat out refuses or is a little bit more hesitant to take out their hair?
I just explain to them the necessity of how important it is for us to do what we need to do in order mm-hmm. to get the recording, right? So I go through the spiel of, hey, were you talked to about different hair types and or styles that needed to be use for this hookup, and then they'll say no, or maybe they just didn't care,
yeah.
you know, and I get that a lot.
Yeah.
They just got their hair done and they don't want to take it out. That's a big one. But I just let them know the importance of it. And then if they want to revisit the situation, depending on the severity of their case, then we can. Usually they'll allow us to do it and take them out if necessary, or they'll reschedule, wait longer for the hair to grow out a little more so that it won't be so brand new.
Yeah.
And then we're able to still get it done.
Let's say a 17-year-old comes in with braids that you're asking her to take off. What, and let's say she's having a seizure every month, okay? How do you get across how important it is for her to get this? Like, what would you tell her in that scenario?
See, now, when you say braids, it depends, because there are different types of braids. You have individual braids that still expose the scalp with your natural hair, and then you have individual braids with extensions that still expose your scalp.
Yeah.
You see, so most times you don't have to take them out, but if they don't want that paste or glue in their hair, I will just tell them, okay, well, in the event that you have to come back, we need you to have those removed. And usually, depending on the severity of the case and the inpatient scheduling and things like that, they'll go with it.
Yeah.
To a degree. But I've also had to ask parents to, you know, or make suggestions for them to get those braids put in their natural hair, so it could be a lot easier to manage for them.
So you don't see patients picking their hairstyle over getting a good EEG? For the most part, they want to get the good EEG. Is that what you're
saying? For the most part, they want to get the good EEG. They might be upset. Exactly. But it's like, which one, you know, what's the priority here?
Yeah.
You know, so, and it's usually, you know, parents of children who have spent money getting their hair done, and then they're like, oh, I just got it done. Or, you know, sometimes it may be styled in the perfect way to where I won't have to remove anything.
Isn't that the best?
It's the best.
I would rather have that than a bald patient, honestly, because I'm just like, I see exactly, and I can put them down and I can get behind their head and I'm like, I know exactly where
I'm going. I know. And bald patients aren't always easy either.
No, because they just slide off. Sometimes you put it on and especially the ones where the sebaceous oil on their scalp is a lot, and it's even hard to get that off.
The leathery head because of the sun, you know. So it's just a lot of different things that go into what we do, and you know, the technicalities of it, and just the patient care overall. So that's why I always say the best practice is sectioning off and consolidating the hair.
Very last question.
Yes.
So a new tech is coming in and they've been struggling with this, because I remember it being tough. And I remember trying to figure out, is there a good way? What resources can they use in order to get better? Is there something you're doing online? Are there things, resources that you would point to help them, people that you would point to help them?
Yes, I actually have a website that I'm working on right now that I'm going to be putting everything on and how to do. But in the meantime, they can go to, you can go to myneuropathway.com where I put my presentation on that website, and I have pictures and tutorials and things like that. And I break down how to section off and consolidate, which parasagittal planes, transverse planes you go through. YouTube videos, you can learn how to cornrow or braid or twist. Everybody doesn't need to know how to braid or plait or things like that. If you know how to bundle hair up and put a rubber band around it, that's perfectly fine as well. It's just the main thing you want to do is expose the scalp and keep that hair out of the way of the electrodes. So you won't have to keep going back in the patient's room trying to fix things over and over again because it's not reading properly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Got to get that good EEG. What's your motto?
Exactly. When in doubt, expose the scalp. Exactly.
All right, Marcia. Well, thank you so much for joining the podcast. You know, you're a shining star, obviously, and just seeing you up there is amazing. And I love seeing what you're doing. So thank you for coming in and doing this.
I appreciate it, Gil.
All right.
Anytime.
Okay. Well, thank you all. Appreciate it. Have a good one.